Hello, John.
Hey, Drew.
Come on back here.
All right.
So have a seat.
Okay.
In that chair. And prepare yourself for a really scary time. And thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to shut the door.
Bye. What?
Awesome spooky month on the Archive. Blah.
It is still awesome spooky month.
We're in the thick of it now, man.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it.
It is.
I can't
thickly,
even see through all
thickly
this.
Thickly spooky.
Wait. Awesome spookiness.
Yeah. So much.
Move it out of my way.
I can't even see you. The spookiness is so thick.
I need a machete to cut through it all.
I don't know that you're going to be allowed to bring that machete into our destination tonight.
Oh, why not?
Well, because
it's a dangerous place we're going.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Treading on some, I think we both have some familiarity with this.
yeah.
Spooky territory.
Yeah. Well, I think we both do.
Yeah.
Haunted attractions.
Yeah.
We don't mean... Well, this is not, to clarify for everyone.
We're not talking about haunted places.
Though they might be purportedly haunted.
Right, purportedly. But the subject at hand is not a place that is known, recognized for its legacy as a haunted place, but more... it's marketed as a place for you to go and
be scared.
Yeah,
you're paying to be scared.
So this is what gave rise to this. I think is sort of the cottage industry that has grown up around Halloween. Or places that are known for actual or allegedly actual haunted places. So what I mean by that is, for example, so Salem, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Now, not necessarily the most haunted place in America, but it has a history that is, well, you know, it's historically associated with certain themes, you know? So as a result, there are haunted attractions that have congregated there.
Yeah.
Particularly around Halloween, throughout the month of October.
Yeah.
It's awesome spooky month. Yeah. Which and at no time other than awesome spooky month is there a greater chance that you'll run into one of these haunted attractions somewhere. And you know them because you've probably been to one. They're the scarier side of the funhouse.
Yeah. Milieu.
Yeah.
We should note that it's awesome spooky month everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Everywhere.
Whether they know it or not.
Awesome spooky month is universal.
The universe
is spooky.
Whether they're
right now, it is so spooky.
Oh, it's the height. It's the height of spookiness.
Yeah.
The spook factor
like
is
the
at
scare
its,
layer.
Yeah. The potential for multiple scare layers is extremely high. You noted something I didn't think about, that the, what did you say? The marketization of Halloween or what did you say?
So
you used a word.
I don't know. Should we go back and listen?
I know. If I'm listening, future me, rewind the podcast and listen to that word again and substitute it right now. The of Halloween gave rise to these haunted attractions.
The Halloween industry.
The success. Yeah.
Yeah. So and the popularization of Halloween as a
holiday.
A season.
Yeah.
This is a way people want to be scared at Halloween.
Yeah.
The desire to be scared goes hand in hand with the month of October.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, there's an entire industry, and it's literally called the haunted attractions industry. Like it has a magazine. It has its own trade journal and trade show.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll get
Where
to that.
Where is it?
Yeah. When is it? Wait till you hear.
Oh.
Wait till
what?
You hear. So the haunted attraction industry grew out of Halloween. And it's arguably bigger now than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Like I really don't think it has slowed down at all.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger because it's a relatively easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And typically, this may sound like a condescending statement, and I don't mean it that way,
right.
But most people will. You know, I don't think most people are necessarily looking for a specific kind of experience.
There's not a discerning consumer,
right,
for haunted attractions.
Right. Now, you could argue that there are better haunted attractions, or that one haunted attraction does a certain element of a spook,
yeah,
spooky attraction better than others.
Yeah.
But really, it's very hard to qualify what is scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And you find, I think a lot of places take sort of a common trope and just run with it.
I would argue that most haunted attractions do not rely on scaring people. Rather, they rely on startling them.
That is a good point. That's a very good point.
Many of them do that.
Yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
Most
I think
of
you're
them.
Safe in saying most of them.
Which
is ultimately, I think, what people are looking for anyway.
It is.
Most people go into a place like this and they're not expecting to have an experience that is going to like keep them up at night.
Yeah.
You know, they're not gonna. They don't. It is literally like a. It's like a roller coaster,
mm-hmm.
but through a scary town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scary
yeah.
environment. So it's literally a lot of startling experiences. Stacked up together in a concise period of time. And then afterwards, you breathe a sigh of relief and it's over.
I'm safe.
It doesn't stay with you. You know?
Yeah.
At least in most cases, and that's what most people go in looking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's hard to say where this started, but I do think it probably has its roots in the actual haunted places or places that are allegedly haunted. I think probably if you were going to pinpoint the very first haunted attraction that's wherein what you're experiencing is an obvious falsehood.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not, you're not going in there to be scared by something that may or may not be supernatural.
Yeah.
You're going in there knowing that it's a project put on by human beings.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's a commercial venture.
Yeah.
And it's designed to scare you. But I think it probably the first one, if there is like one that we can point to, probably started as a place that was allegedly haunted, mm-hmm. had a reputation, and somebody, an entrepreneur, came in and said, hey, there's this vacant house. People think it's haunted already. Wouldn't it be cool if we put some people in costumes, had them jump out at people,
right.
You know? And actually, this people have sort of done this kind of thing in their own homes for a long time. You know, have done little haunted house type mazes and things in their garage.
Did I not relay at one point on this show the story of a friend of mine or a schoolmate of mine constructing a haunted house in quotes?
I don't think you did.
Really?
No. No,
really? I didn't.
Yeah, relay
it. I swear I told this.
Relay this story.
I apologize if I've told this.
I don't think you have.
But it's a great one.
We'll be the judge of that, Drew.
I think it was elementary school. I knew this kid who lived in my neighborhood. And I guess at school or something, he said, hey, do you want to come over and see the haunted house I'm building? And I'm not sure why I said yes, because I, you know, at that point and up to this point, I don't like that kind of thing. But I guess I, you know, was game. So I said, yeah. And after school, I walked up to his house and he took me to the backyard where they had a shed, tool shed, you know. And he said, okay, wait out here until I tell you to come in. And when I say come in, you know, that's this will be the haunted house.
Okay.
So he goes inside and I wait for a few minutes and I hear him from inside muffled like, okay, come in. And I open the door and walk in and close the door behind me. And there's like, I think there was like a red light on, like a red light bulb. And he had, he had taken a, like a folding table, like a rectangular shaped folding table and butted it up against the back corner of the shed so that the table top was facing me like upright,
okay,
you know, leaning against the shed and creating a triangular kind of hole that someone could basically, you know, be behind that table. Nothing else in the there was also a little boombox playing kind of creepy
music. Yeah.
And after a few moments, after I get in there, a gloved hand, like with a monster glove, peeked out from above and over that table and sort of menaced me. And that was it.
Were you scared? Did you run out of there?
No, I wasn't.
Wow.
I wasn't scared. I stood up to it.
Nice.
But I didn't know what to do after that. And I don't think he really knew because I think he just stood up and he was like, that's it.
That's the haunted house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I told them.
Yeah, sure. I don't think I've ever heard that story.
That's pretty great. Too much horror being there. Driving late at night. Psycho 78. My bathroom is new. You don't go in my bathroom with me. Psycho 38. 12 o'clock, don't be late. All is our business. My mirrors are black. You don't go in my bathroom with me. I was wondering if maybe some of the origins of this kind of attraction happened at carnivals with fun houses and stuff.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element there too.
Yeah.
Because you had the dark ride type thing where you, it's like a fun house, but it has, it's basically like a hall of grotesqueries.
Stuff.
Grotesqueries, yeah. Yeah, where you're presented with these little vignettes of horror, right?
Yeah.
Which is essentially what you're doing in a haunted attraction, except that you're walking instead of riding in a car.
Do with it what you will.
Yeah.
Take it as you want.
And in recent years, the thematic element of them has been sort of upped. So you have this interesting, you have actual haunted places or allegedly haunted places. You have carnivals and fun houses. And then you have the theme park side of it, wherein people are creating, they're giving you a storyline that you are immersing yourself in, right? So, and now
when you say theme park,
right,
are you using theme park let me say, a conceit?
Themed
as a,
attractions.
Okay.
How about that? Yeah. So not necessarily a theme park, but that style wherein it's an immersive storytelling experience.
Yeah.
So you bring all of these together and that's your haunted attraction, I think.
All right.
I think for the majority.
You bring all of those things together.
Some occasionally more one than other,
right.
You know, others. So like you have sort of like there's your lower end really simple experience, which is literally just, you know, things popping out at you or jumping out at you. There's maybe no storyline to it at all. Or you may have something that goes heavily into the storyline element, but is maybe lesser on the funhouse pop-up scares kind of thing.
Right.
Or there may be one that blends kind of that and some sort of heritage. Like, so a good example of that is in St. Louis, the Limp Mansion is a noted haunted
site. A noted stupid place.
And Drew has explained his experiences with the Limp Mansion.
We don't need to go into that again.
Well, for, I don't know, a couple decades now, I think, for like 20 years, off and on, there has been a haunted attraction on the site of the Limp Brewery, which is the brewery where the Limp family made its fortunes.
All right.
And it takes place inside the caverns underneath the brewery.
Don't even ask me. I'm not going.
So there's really not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot linking the story of the Limp family
with the caverns,
the hauntings of the Limp Mansion, with what you experience when you go to the haunted caverns. Okay. You know, it's not like you're not supposed to be following along on the lives of the Limp family.
Right.
You know, it's more like they just sort of exploit the setting and it's legend in local notoriety.
You know and love the Limp legend. Now come live something that has nothing to do with it, but is also potentially scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, I guess maybe it's like, you know, that we are, you know, good at making scares because we handle the Limp Mansion stuff. We also got this other thing, and it's here on the Limp property in the caverns. It's not necessarily related to the Limps.
Right.
But you know that we know what we're doing.
It's Limp in
brought
name.
To you by. It's essentially the brought to you by of haunted attractions.
Yes, yes.
Brought to you by the makers of the Limp Mansion. Scary stuff.
Scary people. Scare spurts.
Yeah. Scare spurts.
Or so going in the other direction, a more one that lays on the theme a little more heavily, another local place. Mm-hmm. This one, I don't think it's around anymore, but Silo X. I think it opened.
You didn't say it right.
Silo X. Is that better?
Yeah.
So that opened, I think I was like in junior high high school when that one opened up.
Yeah.
And it was, the story was that there had been some sort of like toxic chemical spill or something.
Yeah.
And I think it changed a little bit from year to year.
Yep.
So at one point it was like maybe a laboratory and there'd been a leak.
Right.
Another time it was like there was a vehicle crash or something.
Helicopter
crash, yeah. And that had spilled the chemicals or whatever. And now it's under quarantine.
Yeah.
And yeah, so in that case, I think the idea was that all the people that you were running into were like mutated victims of this thing. You've been to Silo X, right?
No.
No, you haven't.
I would never. I would not do it. I mean,
interesting.
I was at the height of my fright at that point in my life. I mean, now I could probably force myself to deal with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it is just being startled. And I don't enjoy that. That's
pretty
why
much like repeatedly being startled.
But at that point, there was no way I was going to Silo X, especially hearing about it and the commercials and, you know.
Yeah.
That's
the thing. I feel it's funny. I feel like the haunted attraction industry is basically like keeping commercial radio alive.
Yeah.
Because they seem to like when it's like September, October, you get hit. If you listen to the radio, at least around here, it's like one bad commercial for these haunted attractions after another. And it's always, you know, somebody doing some kind of voice and these hyperbolic statements like, you've never tasted fear until you've visited the darkness.
Along those lines, I feel like they all claim to have won some kind of award.
Award, yes.
For being the scariest thing.
Voted scariest haunted house west of the Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that, I alluded to this earlier. So there's this whole industry of haunted attractions, arguably the epicenter of that industry is St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah,
we're the winners.
We are the winners. Yeah. And every year they host the trade show.
Where?
For the haunted attraction. Here.
Where?
In St. Louis.
Where?
In the convention center.
When?
In March.
In every March. March.
Every March, yeah.
That's not Awesome Spooky Month.
Well, no, but they've got to see
that is almost the antithesis of Awesome Spooky Month.
But they've got to prepare for Awesome Spooky Month. See, that's the thing.
You're
these
right.
People work year round at
so I want to go to it. Can a normal person go?
No.
Why?
It's industry only. You're acting
like you can get in.
Well,
what? Have you been?
I may know people who know people.
Have you been?
I've been, yeah. It's pretty great.
Well,
I mean, it
why
is,
didn't you take me?
Well, it's difficult, but plus it's scary. I didn't think you'd want to be there.
Damn it.
No. We'll go. We'll go. It'll be back.
If it was set up as a haunted attraction itself.
Actually, part of it is sort of. They have a
like a demo room.
So it's basically like any other trade show where you have these exhibitor booths lined
right,
up next to each other.
Stuff, right.
Yeah. Yeah. But because of the nature of it, some of them are a little more. They get into the act a little bit more than others. So you'll have people in costumes sort of stalking around the booth.
Oh wow!
Or they'll have things that jump out at you in the booth, mm-hmm. you know, and startle you. And the whole idea is obviously to demo these things and be like, "See how scared you were? Just imagine how you know your customers will be." But they also have a dark zone, and that's this area of the trade floor that has been cordoned off, and it's covered in like. Black tarps.
Wow.
And you walk inside and it's all like, you know, black lid or whatever.
Nice.
And so it's extra intense in there in the dark zone. Yeah. We'll go.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
It's pretty good. I obviously part of me loves scary stuff. If it hasn't been made clear, I like spooky things.
You guys haven't figured out by now.
You don't know by now. I like scary things.
Shut up and don't listen. No, I'm joking. Please keep listening.
But I also love this, like community that surrounds these attractions. You know, they're all sort of trying to one up each other.
Yeah.
And they you definitely get a sense there is a familial relationship between them. And I feel like that holds true for people who go to them too.
Yeah.
You're sort of, so if you've never been to a haunted attraction before, this is kind of the general gist of what happens.
Okay.
You go there and you wait in line.
Yep.
You wait in a long,
long line
because these places are not designed to manage mass crowds of people. I mean, I've waited 2.5-3 hours. Yeah.
They do their best to make that wait. Entertaining.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll have like people coming out there and talking with you. And really, maybe this is more my assumption than the actuality, but I kind of think that they do it on purpose. They want you to wait outside because the anticipation of, if you're already a little bit scared about what you're going to encounter, you know, the anticipation gets better.
I think the contrast helps too, because you spend a very long time bored.
Yes.
And sort of like, you get to a point where you're like, God, is we ever going to do this thing? And,
yes.
And you almost become sort of like, you start to write it off and you get this mindset of like, is this worth it?
Yeah. Very dismissive.
Yeah.
And you let your guard down sort of.
Exactly.
So then, once you're actually at the entrance of the attraction itself,
that's where it starts to get,
then it gets a little creepy.
Yeah.
Cause they usually will try to, have some sort of interaction there where we'll have a host, a person, sort of like the person who takes you to your table at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But this person is, they're kind of the transitional point because there's something about them that's spooky or eerie or, you know, they're wearing a costume, they're acting, you know, some sort of ghoulish character. but they're also, They're in on the act a little bit, and they let you know that they're in on the act. Like they're a little more playful about it than what you're gonna find inside. So you get grouped together. If you have a large enough group of people in your party, it'll just be you guys.
Yeah.
But if it's just you and somebody else, what they'll likely do is pair you up with another group of people. Mm. So you always go in like a cluster.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. But so as your group navigates the attraction, going from like room to room or zone to zone or whatever, And things happen. Stuff jumps out at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each room or area has a theme usually of yeah. some kind.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a maze.
It's a series of startles and weird. I mean, like I've only been to the darkness. Well, I've been to the darkness and I've been to Six Flags Fright Fest. Mm. The darkness is extremely elaborate.
Yes.
And yeah, it is much like a maze and you kind of just go. You move at a pretty fast pace.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get bunched up with yes. people, which it can. You
it
know?
Can, yeah.
Which adds a whole other level of horror.
the terror of other people.
Yeah. yeah. But yeah, you're kind of really quickly pushed through mm-hmm. these areas and you don't have a whole lot of time to think or take stock of where you are and what's going on.
Right. They don't want you to get too comfortable. I mean, yeah. the illusion will not hold up
right.
to scrutiny.
Yeah, exactly.
Is basically, exactly. you know, they've created these environments in most cases anyway. They've created these environments that are just convincing enough yep. as you're running through terrified.
And it's filled with smoke and
yeah, strobe lights.
Strobe lights, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is meant to get you not to really notice stuff.
Yeah.
So that when people jump out to scare you, it is legitimately frightening. Yeah. But yeah, you move through and I find that you're crouching much of the time. That you have your shoulders up, you know, you're kind of like...
Oh, because you're waiting for something yeah, to you're, you come get at you.
Pretty,
yeah,
and pretty tense. And you also a lot of times have your hand on the person in front of you, like, because you don't want to get separated, yeah, basically. So you kind of move in this train-like...
yes,
a configuration.
Yeah. There's always usually... somebody always ends up either being elected or volunteering to go first. Yeah.
And then I feel like these places also, the pathway is almost only wide enough for a person.
Yeah.
So you can't get together in a group.
Right.
Like you couldn't, if you wanted to, you couldn't like get a bunch of people around you and then
like huddle
a cocoon of people.
Right.
You have to be exposed on either side.
Yes.
By the nature of the pathway. Right?
Yeah.
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 And you move from room to room. They often have different themes. And there are various things that will jump out at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Usually people.
But usually people.
In costume of some sort. But in your more elaborate places, like the darkness is full of like animatronic
exactly.
creatures. And that's what you see at that trade show, is just a lot of these, you know, creatures and The darkness is the longest running local attraction.
There was one thing in the darkness I remember was a spider.
Oh yeah.
That was like you'd look down this hole and it was at the back of the hole and it would like charge up at you.
Yeah, crawl at you.
It was horrifying.
So you were genuinely scared going through the darkness. I mean, startled.
There were lots of, I was definitely startled a lot of it. There were a few moments of genuine like fright and sort of, oh, that creeped me out kind of stuff. There was one moment where, and it's probably the scariest moment, where we're going through and it was actually kind of a transitional area from, like, it was just basically a bare hallway from to the next area. But in the corner was this little man and he was in like a bellhop outfit.
Ooh.
And we all assumed, I think, as we approached it was like a dummy.
Yeah.
But as you got closer, you're like, that's a real guy. Like a very small.
Just a very diminutive.
Very small man. Like a little person.
Uh-huh.
Right? And the guy was genius because he didn't do anything. He just stood there. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He just stood there being creepy. Like he just let you get closer until you realize he was real. And that was all he needed, you know. You were like, "Oh my God, that's real!" You know,
just the fact that, yeah.
So he was
it's a legit
doing it
person.
Pretty great.
Wow.
The thing that happens, and what happened when I went, is it did get. I mean, it was crowded, so we got bunched up, and at one point we were just stopped.
Yeah.
And we were in this sort of graveyard area, and that is when things start to break down, as far as the scariness, because pretty much each area has an actor in it
yeah.
that is supposed to be jumping out or you know, menacing or threatening.
Yeah.
Or
people are sort of assigned to certain areas. Yeah.
And if you get stuck in an area, that guy or girl has to continue to stay in character, but they can't rely on jumping out at you anymore.
Right, because they've already done that.
They're exposed. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, it just becomes them taunting you or
yelling at you.
Berating you. Yeah. And it becomes less fun and scary and more just annoying. Like, all right, you did your job. We're done here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can
nobody,
cut it out.
Nobody thinks that this is real. Yeah. So you can quit playing your role. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I think it can get scary when you get bunched up in the right environment because I've been in a couple of places where this is a classic staple of the thing too. You just have a dark room, completely blacked out, and there's maybe stuff hanging from the ceiling. You can feel stuff, but you can't sense a way out.
Oh, brother.
And neither can anybody else. So people are literally just sort of banging into each other, trying to find the way out, and they're getting turned around, and some of them may go back. Like, you're walking forward, and you've got your group behind you, and then you run into somebody, and it's not an actor. It's another dude. It's another person who's just going through there, and they're coming back the other way, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm going the wrong way.
Oh, man.
And they just maybe got lost or something.
That's freaky.
So I think that can be really creepy.
Yeah.
And I think some places do that by design.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they want you to kind of wander around in this zone. I was in one. I don't even remember where it was, but, I mean, it was like an old warehouse, and it was literally like the entire floor of the warehouse was utilized as one room, and all you could really see occasionally were pillars when the strobe light would flash.
Oh, man.
Otherwise, it's just this cavernous space, and you don't know how far it goes. You can't see the other side of it.
Yeah.
And you don't know where people are obviously going to jump out at you, you think.
Oh, God.
But you can't tell where they're coming from. And so it's creepy. That was intense.
One that stands out in my mind was at Six Flags Fright Fest. So they do in the Halloween season, they have haunted houses and
And they decorate the park.
Yeah.
And
when in high school, I think it was, I went the one and only time that I went. We went through the haunted house, and one of the rooms was blacked out, like walls and ceiling painted black, but they had put these reflective stickers, these dots, all over the room, and they black light reflected, so the walls were covered in these dots, and you go in there and you realize that there are people up against the wall in black leotards, like bodysuits, with the dots on them too. So they're like just they're standing still against the wall waiting for people to come in, and then they run at you, you know, and they scream. And I noticed them right off the bat, you know, and it didn't make it any better because then I'm just waiting for them to run at me, and it was still extremely startling. But I thought it was cool. Like after the fact, I thought that's
a cool
neat little effect,
and very simple too.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's another reason why I sort of love that whole this model, this industry is. You know, you get like it's relatively unregulated, right?
Yeah.
You know, there is no like brand name for the most part. You know, so people can kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get things like that. That are really ingenious ideas, and they're made, you know, with nothing basically.
The darkness, I don't know if they started this last year or if it was art, they'd done it before, but they had a 3D portion.
Oh, right.
It was actually pretty cool. It was, you know, you actually put on 3D glasses and you walk through this space, and it wasn't necessarily scary, but it was kind of trippy. And I think the scariest or most disorienting part was right at the end. They had one of those tunnels, like a walkway through a tunnel that's spinning.
Oh yeah.
And so the 3D plus the tunnel spiraling around you, uh-huh, really like threw you off trying to get through that area. And it was like the very last part too of the whole haunted house.
Plus you're waiting for somebody to just jump
yeah,
out at you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing was, that whole portion was clown themed.
Oh,
for whatever
yeah
reason.
That's it's funny that they those things seem to go hand in hand, the 3D thing and the clown thing. Or maybe it's just clowns are a pretty reliable.
Yeah. Well, and that,
scare
thing. You know, that was something I was going to touch on, is like, you know, all of this is really just startling you, jumping out at you. And it's like you said, it's not meant to sit with you after.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, inherently there are tropes within this concept that are there because they hold a true sort of frightening aspect for people.
Yeah, they resonate
with
people's actual fears.
Some people are like genuinely extremely afraid of clowns.
Yeah.
And so all they don't need a haunted house to make it scary. Like, they see a clown and it freaks them out.
Yeah.
So to be immersed in that, you know, would be a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
And so I think there are probably a lot of unwitting sort of frights that do sit with people after this. If a particular, like spiders, let's say you're intensely afraid of spiders, and like I said, there's this one portion of the darkness that had this spider kind of coming up at you. I would imagine that would freak you out quite a bit.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, beyond just being startled.
Yeah.
But I think that's just because they're basing all this stuff on classic scary things.
Yes. They know that there's a lot of people who are scared of spiders, so they figure, you know, it's a reliable.
I would like to, that makes me think, I would like to see a haunted attraction based on things that don't scare people. So that's all reliant on things jumping out at you.
Uh-huh.
But like, if it was a room full of like sandwiches or something, or just like or, I don't know, like like a puppy themed, you know, something that is no one could possibly be afraid of, but they have to make it work.
It's just startling.
Yeah. I think that would be quite innovative.
That is funny. There are some that have kind of deviated from the norm. And unfortunately, the one that immediately comes to mind is pretty despicable. And it's sort of known for it. I don't know if they still do it or not, but there's some church, I think in Texas.
Yeah.
There's a documentary about it.
Unsettling documentary.
It's really, really upsetting. And the themes of these settings that take place in the haunted house are all they're based on sort of like these moral judgments where they're saying like, okay, this is a type of behavior in the real world. It's not supernatural or anything. And they're basically making the argument that these people are all in hell as a result of their actions in the world. And it's really, you know, I've never been there, so I can't say for sure, you know, what the overall impression is that you come out of it with, but watching the documentary and kind of reading about the scenarios depicted and just the attitudes that seem to be proposed as a result of it is really, it's disturbing. You know, that's the disturbing part of it. It's like the
it's all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Most places are doing this for fun.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And they genuinely, I think a lot of people who are involved in this genuinely enjoy scaring people.
Yeah. But not
in jest, right?
Yeah, not because they derive pleasure from people, you know, in peril or
right.
They want you to be as much in on it and enjoying it,
yes,
as they are.
There's a definite, almost an agreed upon kind of give and take thing where, you know, like, you are here to be scared and I'm here to scare you, and we're both getting mutual enjoyment from our roles in it.
Yeah.
Whereas this other thing, I think it's called Hell House,
or maybe that's
the name of the documentary, but it feels like it's for all the wrong reasons.
It's truly awful.
Yeah, every sense of
the word, the idea is to impart some sort of moral or ethical advice or
basically it's like scared straight is the thing. Is it's like, you know, and this is a really simplistic one, but like if this church decides that smoking is evil, then they'll have a scenario where some like teenager is smoking and then in the next scene her lungs get ripped out, you know, or something like that. It's very judgmentally based and depictions.
And I think what is the most offensive, what is most offensive about it is there is no real understanding of the scenarios that they're addressing. There is no
there's no context whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like behavior without,
and the people, seemingly the people behind it, it's not as if they have experienced these things and are speaking from a place of knowledge. They are attributing what they believe, you know, these scenarios are like, and then sensationalizing them to scare the wits out of somebody.
Yeah,
it is really, I mean, you can try to, I don't know, I don't really recommend you watch it because it is, it sort of makes you kind of question people, but perhaps that is the dark side of, you know, haunted attractions in a way. Well, and you know, the other thing, and I hate to talk about this thing so much, but the other thing that is upsetting about that video is how much the people involved are enjoying doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a strange glee derived from performing this haunted house.
It's what bothered me about it is they genuinely seem to look upon the persons depicted in these scenarios as lesser human beings.
Yeah.
You know, and that is really, and doing so in what I consider, I guess, to be sort of a perversion of otherwise
awesome.
Well, that, but
the haunted house?
Two sides. Yeah. It gives haunted houses a bad name.
Yeah.
And then it gives, I think, people who genuinely are concerned with other people's behavior for legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
It makes them look bad too, you know? So in both ways, it's this doubly bad thing, you know,
it's really
awful. But I kind of, on the flip side of it, there's another haunted house that is, or haunted attraction that is sort of notorious. I think it's in New Orleans. Yeah. Called the House of Shock.
Okay.
And it is notorious for basically pulling no punches. And really, hitting up these very disturbing scenarios, not with any kind of judgment or agenda, just because they are so ghastly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like this is maybe, it kind of tips the scales in the other direction where it's like, they're not attacking anyone or anything. They're basically just saying, this isn't even fun.
Yeah.
It's just going to disturb you.
Right.
You know, it's almost that aggressive.
Do you have an example appropriate for
well, it's the kind of thing where they started off like from the get-go. When you're waiting in line, they'll bring people out and simulate a murder on stage, you know, and it's not,
and there's no wink
of
the eye. There's no,
and it's not like there's no supernatural trappings or anything like that. Most of these haunted attractions, you're presented with the notion that you are in an alternate reality.
Sure.
You know,
you're
entering some sort of paranormal situation, or there's some kind of you know, like the toxic spill thing, there's an artifice to it, right? Right. In this case, it's just blatant. It's not somebody, you know, in a clown costume.
Right.
It's just some dude and some other person.
Yeah.
And they simulate the act of killing.
Ugh.
And it's like that sort of throughout the whole thing.
Right.
It's like these really horrible scenarios.
Right.
That happen without any of that kind of playful wink, you know? And they sort of make it clear from the get go. They're like, you know, look, we're not here to kind of tiptoe,
right.
You know, and nudge, you know, this is, we really want to shock,
yeah.
You know,
is that the basic mission is to,
yes,
just to shock.
To push envelopes with this medium. Yeah.
Huh. I don't know that I would, well, I know that I would have no interest in seeing
that. Yeah.
But I suppose I can understand the intent.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult thing. You know, it starts to take it into a space of perhaps an art form or to address it as art,
mm-hmm.
to make a statement, to shock or to test someone's, what they're willing to put themselves through. Maybe,
yeah.
You know,
it is, it's postmodern,
yeah.
Kind of reflexive, you know, it's sort of saying like, it sort of throws it back on you as if saying like, you know, this is what you do for fun, you know, you know, let's just think about this for a second.
You've come here to have willingly.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah.
We created this. Yes. But you've come and you are part of
you
it.
You are
now.
Paying to be support. A part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I personally have never been interested in shock for shock's sake,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I think that a lot of people are interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. It's attractive.
But I don't think I'll ever go to this thing that you're talking about. I have no interest. I'm about to bloody orbs on this Halloween. I get so giddy every time I hear you scream. My sick obsession's getting kind of scary. I love it when you kiss me in the cemetery. Baby, I knew you were the perfect catch when you told me that you love me in the funky patch. It gave me shivers up and down my spine when you blew a little. I am very easily scared, but I have to admit I had a good time at the darkness, you know. I might be convinced to do it again sometime because I was impressed, you know, by the animatronics and mm-hmm. all the areas and the set dressing and just, you know, as sort of crappy as it was, because you could see a lot of the seams, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they don't make any claims that it is going to be this seamless kind of experience. But that kind of added to the fun of it all, you know, the kind of silliness that is there in each of the areas, you know.
It's one of the few remaining, I guess, sort of homegrown kind of business things. Now that said, if you appreciate that and you like, if you enjoyed that, I would be curious to see your take on sort of like the top, what I guess is like the top tier experience.
The darkness is voted the number one experience.
Right. By the publishers of Haunted Attractions magazine, who happen to run the darkness. Yeah. Which I've actually seen people, you know, sort of call them out on that, but it's kind of, I think it's funny. I think it's amusing,
it's awesome,
you know.
Yeah.
But no, I'm thinking of like, well, so Six Flags does their Fright Fest thing, right? Well, every October, other places, other theme parks also do haunted attractions.
Yeah.
And probably the best known is Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay.
Which is... It's essentially the same thing, you know. It's a bunch of haunted houses. It's a bunch of mazes that are decorated and things startle you. Mm-hmm. But the production value is befitting a place that charges you $70 to get into, you know. So I've been to the Orlando version of it once, and I've been to the Hollywood version of it once. And there are elements of both that I liked. You know, they excelled in certain areas, different places. But I think the thing that stands out is the part of what I applaud a lot of the sort of, it's weird to call them this, but like mom and pop haunted attractions, you know, is that they're for the most part inventing these things themselves, or they're putting together that storyline from these bits and pieces of folklore and you know, pop culture or whatnot, and they're sort of creating their own
quilt.
A quilt. Whereas I think and I understand why they're doing this, but like places like Universal Studios or even Disney now has like haunted things. They're playing off of recognized characters and properties, you know, and the payoff is that you're getting to see these things come to life.
Yeah.
Right. So you're getting an entire haunted house themed to A Nightmare on Elm Street. You know,
really?
Or Friday the 13th. Yeah. That's their thing now. For a while they were creating their own, they were coming up with their own. And now it's like almost all like this year's, I was just checking, to see what the roster is. They have a Walking Dead attraction.
Oh.
So it's based on, you know,
there won't be any zombies.
Right. No zombies, just a lot of really despicable people.
Horrible acting and.
Yeah. Bad melodrama.
Yeah, like cliche.
That's the horror. Yeah.
Stereotypical people.
But, you know, then they've got one that's like themed to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And, it, you know, they change them every year. They come up with different ones.
Will
based
there
on
be an Ernest
themes.
Scared Stupid
oh, one? Man. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Oh, that would be incredible. Yeah. But it's the thing where I sort of feel like it's a little bit too much.
You know, I don't know.
It takes it sort of too far to the point where it's almost like sterile. You know,
I find it hard to, and without having experienced any of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to fault them for that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I totally understand where they're coming from.
The whole idea is it's movies come to life, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they thought, oh, we should have been doing this the whole time, you know?
Yeah, sure. And I mean, it's bankable. You know, people continually show up for it, and they expect that level, I think.
Are you disappointed that they have perhaps the best resources to innovate or create something original?
Yes. Well, and maybe
not fully utilizing it.
Not necessarily the storyline. Like, I mean, I think that they have that capability.
Yeah.
But I'm not disappointed in the fact that they've chosen to go with established icons.
Right.
You know?
Stories.
What I think bothers me is that they've basically grafted those characters onto what is essentially the same haunted experience that you get at any other attraction.
Okay.
It's just that the costumes are better quality.
I get you.
You know, but they're not,
but there's still...
in most cases, I'm sure there are exceptions. I'm sort of disappointed that I can't think of an exception right now, but I think in most cases they're not using those resources to come up with different ways of telling those stories,
right.
Three-dimensionally or, you know,
right.
immersively.
Like, right.
I feel like some of those stories could lend themselves to a different kind of experience,
right.
Rather than just being shuffled through.
In the end,
a maze.
It's still a maze.
It's still basically
with
a maze.
With people jumping it.
Yeah. Now they do have their other things. And I'm seeing this more and more at the sort of local attractions too. But there's other things that are not, they're not just haunted mazes.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have like, you'll see like hay rides, you know, at places, or games that are, you know, sort of horror themed. Yeah. And they do this on a different, on a greater scale with like the big ones, like with Halloween Horror Nights. Their big thing, honestly, this was in both cases, I think my favorite part of those experiences was this show that they do called, it's like Bill and Ted's Halloween Adventure.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
This is
already awesome.
It's a stage show. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting in like an amphitheater and it's like 15 minutes or a half hour or whatever. And it's the characters, Bill and Ted, yes. and they have some sort of
essay, school project.
Kind of. It's sort of like that, you know, the storyline changes, you know, from year to year, but it's always the staples of it are that it always includes like current pop culture references.
Okay.
So it's very jokey and it's kind of mocking them.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes it'll be, they'll have these characters appear and sometimes it's, they'll just make references to them. But both times that I've seen it in both Hollywood and Florida, the writing has been like really clever, and it's that rare it's the rare opportunity that I think those venues have of kind of pushing envelopes.
Right.
You know, for the most part, they have to they're cognizant of the fact that they are drawing in people from all over the world. And they have to treat all of those audiences carefully and not offend anybody.
Yeah.
But with this show, they sort of have a greater license to, you know, push people's buttons.
Yeah.
And so I think that sort of, in that way, they are being a little more innovative.
Nice.
You know, than just your traditional haunted maze. But I like where that model is going, where you're not just going for a haunted house, standing in line, and then you're done. I like the idea that it's a full experience, and maybe there's, if you're not the haunted maze type, you know, maybe you just want to see movie memorabilia or, you know, something along those lines.
Something that caters to all needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure someone's doing this, but somewhere there should be like a paintball facility that during the awesome spooky month does like a zombie horde kind of setup where, you know, you are defending yourself against a zombie outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Shooting zombies.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. There's probably one right here.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right here. I mean, like now. Duck. Yeah, no, you're right. I think, and I'm hoping we'll see more
branching.
Yes, yeah. As
of this idea.
The tropes become sort of static.
Yeah.
And, you know, where people collectively start to expect more, I think that'll push people into greater directions. And we'll start seeing this stuff, you know, broaden out and involve different experiences.
You have, this is sort of in line with this kind of stuff. You have those, they're almost like dinner theater setups, right? Where there's
murder,
been a
mystery.
Murder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go, you have dinner, there's a murder, and then you're part of the story. You know, there are actors who are playing roles and you kind of interact and role play in a way.
Yeah. You have more of a purpose there than just walking through something.
So it'd be neat if that concept, which you know, isn't necessarily one associated with Halloween or the Halloween season, if you did take that and tried to push it a bit further into the realm of Halloween, you know, if you made it maybe about like some sort of haunting or some sort of like there's a ritual conducted and then you know, the mission is not to find out who murdered who, but to, you know, close the portal to
stop
hell
that
would be pretty
like
cool.
That
some kind of interactive role-playing scenario could be neat. See, I had all the ideas
right there.
Yeah,
we should do that. We should make that happen.
I'm gonna do it.
All right,
don't steal my idea. No, please, someone steal it and do it.
Yeah, do it.
I don't have the money nor the resources to do it. So
right, so you go do that. We'll put this in the archive.
Yeah.
And then we'll go see your thing.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Do it.
All right.